Dr. F.A.C. Olus, Rail 7.
What was the propaganda that they were trying to promulgate? Now, the usual thing, you know, that Japan was invincible, that we should pay respect to Tenno-Heika, that that they were the divine nation, and we must all be fully patriotic towards them. Things like that, and that, you know, and the propaganda which is anti-American, anti-British, anti-allies.
What kind of, how did they do it?
Oh, they're just speeches, talks. Talks, instead of lectures on anatomy, this is what their lectures, they fed us with. But of course, it all came to one ear and out through the other for most of us.
Did they give lectures on their culture and their history?
Yes, yes, they did. As part of feeding us with this, hoping that we would obtain this feeling of attachment towards them.
How serious were these lecturers in their teaching?
Well, they were very sincere in what they had to say. You know, they believed in everything that they had to say. I mean, they hoped that we would believe them too. But as I say, it certainly defeated the purpose for what we were there. Did not comply with the reasons for which we were there. We wanted to go back and start studying again, medicine or dentistry. In this case, it was medicine that they said they were going to teach us, and we were going to become doctors, but never materialized.
How many of these Japanese were giving the lectures?
Not very many, you know, not very many. Well, I would say half a dozen. How many students were there? I would say about 100, 200, no more.
Most of these students were the former students of the College of Medicine?
Majority were. But as I say, there were some had drifted in from Indonesia as well.
What were the students' attitudes towards what was being taught?
Well, just like mine. And we behind the backs of Japanese, we'd just say, well, this is a whole lot of nonsense, you know, what the heck are we doing here? And then we'd carry bundles. But among the students, there were one or two where we were very cautious about. These are really poor Japanese few. And so we were careful in what we had to say. And the best thing we could do, those of us who couldn't take it any longer, was to leave. This is what I did on some pretext or another.
Were these students the former students of the College of Medicine?
Yes, most of them were.
And those that you were cautious of?
One or two, I don't think they were, you know. They might have been planted there.
How about those from Malaysia and Indonesia?
The Malaysian chaps were students. Majority of them were students at the Elder King Edward VII College of Medicine. At that time, there was no medical school in Malaysia at all. Everybody came, all within the Malayan Peninsula, came to Singapore to the King Edward VII College of Medicine to take up medicine, dentistry, and pharmacy. These Indonesian students were, I suppose, invited by the Japanese from their homeland to come here.
What were their attitudes towards the education here?
You know, I can't remember, but they didn't make an impression on me to the effect that they were terribly different from us. They had the same sort of reaction to what was being fed us, to what we had.
So how did all of you relate to one another, especially those from Indonesians and the...
We were friends, you know, like school, like college buddies, you know, like college friends.
What about the lecturers? How did they treat the students?
Oh, they're not... They were all right. They were okay. I mean, as long as we made them believe that we were listening to what they had to tell us, they were very good. I mean, there was no question of any... the lecturers ostracizing us, or I can't remember that.
Any cases of punishment from the lecturers?
Not that I can remember. They weren't a bad lot, actually, these lecturers. I mean, of course, they had their beliefs. They tried their best to inculcate us with this feeling of national, Japanese national pride and belonging, but didn't do much good.
Did you join this school when it was announced that the former students could go back to
school? Yeah, I really believed that they were going to start a medical school. I really believed that there would be a proper syllabus, proper organized school, university, leading to a qualification. Subsequently, I mean, I knew that when the Allies came back, it wouldn't be recognized. But at least I would be learning. I wouldn't be wasting my time. And it was difficult for me because I was married. I married very young because of the war. And I had a son. Did I have a son that time? Was he born then? No, he wasn't born. I was married. My wife was working. That's right. My wife was working. And it was, you know... she was earning the money, and then later on she got pregnant and so on. This might have been the excuse why I left. I'm not sure what excuse I gave, but I succeeded in getting a release from the school. But I really did think that there would be some organized teaching. I would learn something which would hold me in good stead when I went back.
Do you remember how you enrolled in the school?
We were told to report. We reported. The name's taken down.
Hmm? Where did you?
At the Tan Tock Seng Hospital.
Did you have to show them any documents of your qualifications?
I think they had the records.
Who were the people who were taking down all your particulars?
I can't remember.
Do you remember at that time whether they take in any new students? That means those who were not former
students?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, there were one or two.
What were the requirements for a person to want to enter this school if he was not a former student?
I think he must have had, I suppose, some previous scholastic... attainment, like senior Cambridge. That time we had senior Cambridge exams. But I really can't answer that question. All I know is I went there by virtue of the fact that I was already a dental student, and many of us who returned, like Lee Ek Chong, who's my partner, he was also one of these guys. And he, like myself, also left.
On that day when you reported, did you have to put down which course you wanted to sign up for?
There was only one course, medicine. No alternative.
So all of you were told that it was a...
medical school.
Who was in charge of the school and its daily administration?
Well, I think the main administration came from the Director of Medical Services, which is Ando. And outside of that, we only had contact with the lecturers who came, as I mentioned, the Japanese personnel who lectured to us.
Did Dr. Endo ever visited the school?
Once or twice.
For what purpose?
Just to see that, you know, show his face, see, you know, assure us of the things that would be coming along. And I think he must have realized that there was no progress.
What was your impression of Dr. Endo?
Very dim recollections of the man. Very dim recollections. I, other than the fact that he was head of the Director of Medical Service, I formed no opinion about the man at all.
Do you remember the school hours?
Well, from early morning, from about 8 o'clock, I think, till about 5. You provided lunch?
So, how many hours would each lesson be?
We would spend more about time in the morning doing manual work, labor work. Then listening to a few Nipongo lessons and a few talks, if you're quite unrelated to the main, to medicine.
Did you have to pay any fees?
No, not that I can recall, no.
The building work, what was it for?
Oh, we were carrying bricks to make, I suppose, partitions in these wards.
Did you have to do it every day?
Pretty well every day.
How long were you in this school before you decided to leave?
Just a few months.
Who did you have to inform that you wanted to leave the school?
I can't remember who, but I suppose it must have been a principal then. And it was the principal I had informed, not one of the Japanese personnel. Now, I'm just trying to recall, think now. Did I join the school? Was the school started before my stint at Raffles Hotel as a telephone operator, or was it after? I cannot recall, but I do know that my last, after the school and after this telephone operatorship, I got a job at the SRC Single Recreation Club in a clinic which is run for the civilian officers and their families.
You mentioned the principal of the school. Do you remember who he was?
No, I'm sorry, I can't remember.
What was his role in the school?
It's so dim and so distant that I really cannot quite remember. These are the sort of things that have not sort of stayed in my memory.
Did you know at that time, how long did they intend for this course to last?
We were told 5 years. I remember, 5 years. And those of us who had done completed some of the years at the College of Medicine would have this 5 years reduced. So we had hopes of going there, and hopes of studying, hopes of qualifying, again in inverted commas, you know, as doctors, but all this was all nonsense.
Did you know from those who stayed back whether they had to sit for examinations?
No, because what happened is that it wasn't long after that I went to Bahau, and I lost all touch with my colleagues and friends in Singapore.
Did you hear whether the school continued to the end of the occupation period?
No, I can't tell you that. I don't know.
Earlier you mentioned about your work at Raffles Hotel as a telephone operator. Mm. Could you tell us how did you get this job?
You see, my father-in-law had contacts through his work with the military administration department as a doctor there. And he knew that I was looking out for a job. I had to earn some money. And through a couple of these officers, And because I had a fairly good knowledge of Japanese, I studied it, I was able to cope with the language, that I got this job. But it is the worst job I've ever had. I've never been scolded so much in all my life. First of all, I wasn't that fluent as to understand Japanese rattling off fast, especially officers, because the Raffles Hotel was meant for the military personnel and the officers of the military personnel, and they weren't at all polite people either. But I remember in that, I wasn't the only telephone operator. There were two Japanese girls there. They would come in with the forces. Very nice girls, pleasant girls. Very helpful, very sympathetic with my problems. And if I came across any problems, they would take the phone over and save me the embarrassment of being scolded. And if it wasn't for them, actually, I wouldn't have stayed 2 days. But because they were so kind and so sympathetic, and nice girls they were, one or two, and then there was one or two younger Japanese chaps there, and nice people, that I stayed on, but then I didn't last long there.
Your main work was to take telephone?
Just connect. Calls come in, they want to speak to room so-and-so, just poke it into the slot, and it didn't, my role was not to convey messages or anything, purely an operator. Which is done mechanically nowadays.
Who were the people who usually call in?
Oh, the military, the officers. They'd want to speak to so-and-so in room so-and-so. And I just have to connect. That's all.
The military personnel that stay in the hotel, were they from Singapore itself?
They were usually, they were in passage. They were passing through. Majority of them, moving from one place to another.
Do you remember when did you get this job?
I can't remember when, which as part of it. Maybe in, well, it must have been, just prior to my getting this job with the SRC, because by that time I had attained sufficient knowledge of Japanese to have been able to cope with part of this job. Before that, of course, I was still struggling with the language. So it must have been towards the middle of 1943. You know, my son's birth certificate, I was down as a medical student, wasn't I? So I must have still been in the medical school then. So it was not long after that I must have left. Giving an excuse, I've got a son, I've got to feed him, and I, you know. But it wasn't too long. But it wasn't a nice job. I didn't enjoy it, except for these people I worked with. You know, they were very sweet. These Japanese girls. What their names were, I cannot remember. But then, after that. The work I had at the SRC was quite pleasant.
For this job, did you have to go for any interview?
Which job? The telephone operator?
At the Raffles Hotel, yeah.
From my memory of it, it was one of the... It was a couple of these Japanese officers who used to visit my father-in-law. He befriended a couple of nice people. One was Tomioka, one was Naito. It must have been their recommendation through them that I got this job. So, I mean, I didn't have to meet anybody. It was they who put me there.
After you managed to get this job, did you have to inform the Japanese authorities or get yourself registered as a worker with the hotel?
Formalities of that nature, I don't recall, you know. I don't recall. It must have been, I must have had to fill in certain forms. Because, I mean, of course, being in the hotel, there was the military there. I suppose they had to employ people that they had some degree of trust in, you know, because of, I should imagine, secrecy and so on. But I didn't have to swear any allegiance or not like that I can remember, or oath or anything. I mean, there must have been this security, and I must have been closely watched all the time. I don't know, but I dare say I was.
Were you given any pass to say that you're an employee?
Yes, yes. We carried passes. Even when I got the job at the SRC, I had passes as well.
How did you report to work on the very first day?
I can't recall. I should remember. I can't remember that.
What were your working hours?
Usual day hours. I don't recall having had to work for night duty. Usual day hours. You see, they had also their own personnel, and I was just assisting them. Like these Japanese girls, a couple of young Japanese men, they were the main operators. I was like an assistant operator.
Do you remember who did you have to report to when you went to work every morning?
Oh, I go straight to the telephone, to the exchange room. Straight. I mean, I didn't report to anybody. I'd go straight there and say hello. And there's some degree of freedom.
Do you have
we weren't in shackles, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to sign any register of attendance?
No.
How much were you paid for this job?
Again, just a pittance, maybe $40 a month.
Japanese currency.
Japanese currency.
Besides the $40, did they give you any extra rations?
Oh, well, we had food there, but I don't think I had any extra rations to bring home. No. But I was supplementing this money by being an entrepreneur producing tooth powder.
When you were working there, how was your relationship with your colleagues, these operators?
Very friendly. As I say, they were very sympathetic. I was fortunate. They were nice people. They were very sympathetic. And if I ever was received a bashing, ear bashing, they'd take over, you know, and explain that I wasn't very versant with the language, please excuse me, and so on.
Who would be the person to check over what you were doing then?
The other operators in the same room. I wasn't alone in the room. There were others.
But who would be the person to come in and give you a scolding?
Oh no, it was the people on the lines. Because say that, I mean, the telephone would ring and ring and ring and ring, and all the lines were taken up, and here was this buzzer going on, and I couldn't contact him because there was no line to contact. And when I eventually did do that, I'd get a ear bashing. Why did I keep him so long?
Were there any other local staff beside yourself?
In the telephone, in the exchange, no.
Oh, but in the hotel?
I think, yeah, some of the old Raffles staff were there.
Did you mix around with them?
Not much. No.
When you were there, besides the scolding, were there any other pleasant or unpleasant incidents that you remember?
Uh, Not particularly. Not particularly.
How was business during that time for this Raffles Hotel?
Well, that was only a military hotel. So, I mean, I think it was taken over by the military administration, run by the military administration, and I don't think they were looking at profits and losses. But it was always fully occupied, of course.
Did you know who were the people who took charge of its daily administration?
The military administration.
Did you know who they were?
No. I mean, to me, they were unknown individuals. I didn't know who they were. But you know, that was this man, Naito, who was born in California, spoke English, of course, fluently, having been brought up in America. He was a gentleman in every word, and he was more or less like my godfather. You know, he was my protector. I was very fortunate to have come across a person like him. And I suppose he must have known that I was unhappy there, that he got me another opening.
What was his role in this hotel, his position?
Naito was quite a big boy in the administration, civilian administration. What particular post he had, I don't know. But he seemed to have influence in every facet.
Was he a military man?
He was a civilian.
Do you have any idea which military unit was running this hotel?
No, I don't.
No. Did you have to pay tax for what you earned?
No.
Do you remember how long did you work there before you finally left the place?
I must have left. I must have been there for about 3 or 4 months, no more.
Any difficulty resigning from the place?
No. No, I wasn't held back.
Did you have to surrender your pass?
Oh.